Okay, we'll begin our service by singing hymn 49, after which we'll ask Brother Ian Cooden to open our meeting with prayer. Hymn 49. Oh, give thanks to him who made morning night and evening shade, source and giver of all good, nightly sleep and daily food, quickening of our weary powers, guardian of our unconscious hours. Hymn number 49.
Most grand and eternal Lord, Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, this beautiful morning, to give thanks and honor and glory to your name. We thank you again for allowing us to gather here this week and this morning to study your word of scriptures. We pray that you'll be with both young and old. Help us to be attentive to your word, be with our teachers, that we might rightly divide your word of truth. We pray that you'll continue to be with us, that you'll guide us in our minds and our hearts, that we might do all to glorify your name and not our own. We pray that you help us to understand your will and how it would be applied in our daily lives, that we might each ascertain our own strengths and weaknesses, that we might serve you and our master in a fitting way. We pray that you'll be with us today. Help us to be mindful of all the many blessings you've given us, both natural and spiritual, for realize that we're in need of very little. We ask these blessings that you'll continue to bless us as you see fit, and we even ask for the forgiveness for our sins through Christ's name, our Lord. Amen.
We'll have our exhortation this morning by Brother Ben Bowen, subject, The Day That Wait Upon Yahweh, and he's asked to read Psalm 27. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine foes and mine enemies, come upon me to eat my flesh, they stumble and fall. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me. In this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me, far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not. Neither forsake me, O Lord, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Can everybody hear me through this?
I guess so, eh? That was pretty loud.
Well, that's starting up. I just wanted to let you know I chose that psalm because it's one that's very personal to me, and the last verse there really ties in with our theme for the week. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's a difficult thing sometimes to wait on the Lord. It's a difficult thing sometimes to wait upon Yahweh. It's not an easy task in this day and age because it has been so long since the Lord Jesus Christ has been on this earth. And although our days are few, 70 years is the average, 77 I think it is for the United States, It's a long time. I'm only halfway there. And yet, the Lord's coming has seemed like it's been right on the brink for a very long time. Our theme verse, "They that wait upon Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I thought it would be interesting to take the theme verse of the week and break it down into its components. It's one of those beautiful verses of Scripture that's the favorite of many, and it's actually one of my favorites as well. It has a very special significance to me, actually, which I'll touch upon a little bit later in the class. So first of all, who are those that wait upon Yahweh? What are they waiting for? Isaiah 25, verse 9 gives us what we are waiting and hoping for. "It shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." He will save us. We will rejoice in his salvation. It's really salvation that we're looking for, isn't it? And also, whenever there's use of the Lord's name in Scripture, it's interesting to read through the verse with the real understanding of what those names mean. "It shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our mighty one. We have waited for him, he will save us. This is the one who will be. We have waited for him, and we will be glad in his salvation." This, of course, is one of those verses that harkens right back to the first prophecy in Genesis 3:15, the promised Redeemer that will save us. We wait on the salvation of Yahweh. When that day comes, brothers and sisters, we will be glad and we will rejoice. I want to come over to Psalm 37 for a moment. I'm going to read verses 3 to 11. And there's a back and forth through this psalm of the positive and the negative of each of these aspects. If you read through, there's a positive thing about the saints that wait and do certain things, and then there's the negative of those that are wicked and what happens to them. So we're going to read just a section of this, verses 3 through 11. "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any case, in any wise, to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." So we're not going to focus on the negatives too much here. We're going to take a look at all of the positives in these verses. Verse 3, trust in Yahweh. As we wait, we must trust. And again, it's not an easy thing, but we must trust that he's going to bring these things to pass. We must delight in our way of life. We must take pleasure in our life and not look at it as servitude, as the other son in the prodigal son parable. As we wait, we must commit our way unto Yahweh. We must make our direction in life one that is dedicated and directed by God, by understanding what he wants from us. How do we do that? Well, we read his book. We read his letter to us, and we understand his character and how he would have us act. And as we wait, we must do it patiently. We must rest in contentment in our lot in life. To be content with the necessities of daily life, not striving for greatness in this world or for riches. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And if we do these things, it's promised that we will dwell in the land, that we will be taken care of. We will be rewarded with what we wait on, It is, of course, just as our prayers, they are according to the will of Yahweh. If we do, he shall bring forth your vindication as the light. Vindication is a better translation of that phrase there. And your right as the noonday. And we will delight in the abundance of peace. We will inherit the earth. It says next in Isaiah 40, verse 31, they that wait upon Yahweh shall renew their strength. The word renew there means to sprout or to strike through as a first blade of grass or a plant poking through the dirt. It means to change or to alter. We know that God is our strength. Psalm 46, 1-3. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake in with the swelling thereof. Whatever the situation in this earth, whatever happens, God is our refuge. He is the one we go to in time of trouble. Prayer to our God must be the first thing we do in any situation that faces us in this life. Anything that gives us grave concern, we need to approach our Heavenly Father first. Looking to the future, the prophet Habakkuk looks to a time where the mighty ones of God will be strengthened. They'll be able to climb the high places of the earth. Habakkuk 3, verse 19. He who will be mighty ones is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. It's not just temporary strength either, though. It's eternal. We know when this change will happen, when we will be granted in this strength. Isaiah 26, verse 4. Trust ye in he who will be forever. For in Yah, he who will be is everlasting strength. 1 Corinthians 15, 51-52 tells us about that time. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Isaiah 40, 31 goes on to say that they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And it's a little bit of a strange expression if you're not too familiar with the symbology of Scripture. But the eagle is a symbol for the Spirit. It's one of the faces of the cherubim. The four faces of the cherubim represents the four aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ's character. Ezekiel 1, verse 10. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. The four faces of the cherubim represent, as we mentioned, those four aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ's character, and they're brought forward in all of the Gospels as well. The man, the priest, is Luke, who was a physician. The lion is the king, is brought out in Matthew. And the ox, being the servant, is brought out in Mark. And the eagle, being the spirit, is brought out in John. And of course, John is the last of the four Gospels for a very good reason. It's the one that's most steeped in spiritual language, especially when you read those first few verses of John 1. It represents the Spirit. And you really have to go through the other three characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get to John, it's a little easier to understand. All the benefits of Yahweh are reminded us in Psalm 103. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So the benefit, the result of all these benefits that are listed here is that our spirit is renewed like the eagles. Our youth is renewed. When you think about all those individual benefits that are listed, It absolutely would. For any of us, renew our spirit, wouldn't it? Proverbs 30, verses 18 to 19. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Now, those of you that know me a little know that I love to do photography. It's my favorite thing to photograph is birds of prey, specifically eagles. The soaring of an eagle, to me, borders on magical. I love to watch them soar. They go higher and higher. They ascend into the heavens until that little speck is lost among the deep blue of the sky. You often wonder when you look at eagles soaring like that what it must be like to just ride upon the updrafts. The other amazing thing about them is the speed at which they're able to return to the earth to snatch away their prey as well, digging their talons in with swift destruction. The fastest bird of prey is the peregrine falcon, which has been clocked at 242 miles an hour. Now, I hope many of us have never exceeded 100 miles an hour on the highway, but imagine going 1.5 times that speed. 2.5 times that speed. To have a falcon fly by you when you're doing 100 miles an hour, doing another 140 miles faster than you. It's an incredible thing. And you know, National Geographic did a piece a little while back on this. They went up in an airplane with a falcon handler and his falcon. They did a skydive with a camera and a piece of bait for the falcon. And this is the result. As you're watching this, I want you to just think of what it would be like to be this eagle and to be able to go this speed. The way he tucks his wings in and just zooms down fast. And here's the handler going out with his bait. As the eagle comes down towards them and zooms by them, he lets go of the bait. And the eagle, in midair, going 200 plus miles an hour, is able to grasp it in his talons. Of course, the man needs a parachute to land safely. And just if you didn't catch it, here's another view of it. And I can't but think that the bird just doesn't love doing that. You know, they go up so high, and they come down so fast. It is truly one of those things you sit and wonder at. And all the other things that are listed in that proverb as well are things that just make you sit and think. You know, the way that snake moves on the ground as well. But the eagle is a symbol of the spirit. Being up there, high in that blue sky, you saw how high up they were in that plane. And that eagle is just at home up there. The symbol of the spirit being up close to the Lord. It says next in Isaiah 40, 31, about running and not being weary, about walking and not fainting. It's the opposite of this principle in Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And instead, those that are renewed run. They walk and they run and never tire. You know, the progression of this scornful sinner here, this ungodly man, is to walk a little bit and then stand around and then finally sit. Whereas Isaiah 40 has the opposite effect. They walk and never tire as far as they ever need to walk. They can run and never tire. You know, there was a time where I had difficulties in my life in the truth. I didn't know my place. and I was not sure that God was with me. I was anxious about my life and where I was headed. I knew the truth was where I wanted to be, but I couldn't find my place. I had trouble sleeping at night. The anxiety would well up inside me. And to relax and reassure myself about what the future would hold, I built up in my mind a vision of what I knew about the kingdom age and what it would be like. And it was mainly built upon this verse in Isaiah 40, and another couple of verses I'll talk about in a moment. But I imagined a day years into the kingdom age, at least 100 years in, a time when the temple has already been built, when the nations around have been subdued, when sin has been minimized in the world, where the serpent power has locked away. And I imagined a morning, the sun breaking over the mountains, and I stand with my bare feet in the dewy grass, somewhere in Israel, feeling the pleasure of cool, moist grass under my feet as the sun shines and warms up my face. The white robes billow around me in a gentle breeze. And I think about my plan for the day. What are we going to be doing on those days? I imagine that this day I was going to visit a family in Israel. My descendants, living out their mortal lives in a place they chose in the kingdom of God. It's quite a way away. It's a pretty far distance I have to go, and I want to be there by morning, so I run. And I run. And I run. And I never tire. Never break a sweat. Just the sheer pleasure of the wind on my face and the perfectly healthy, spirit-powered body that has been granted me propels me along. And so I arrive mid-morning, having been on a run through the country, exhilarated, not tired. I spend time with the family. The children sit on my knee and listen to stories. And after the visit, I head to the temple. In the second part of the story, I envisioned many times as a way of calming my spirit and lulling myself to sleep after a stressful day. I envisioned myself at the mountain of Yahweh, the holy city, Jerusalem. I arrive at the temple, and I walk through the gates. I walk around the outside. I walk through the corridors. I meet people that I've known through my life and people that are new to the truth and the kingdom age. I'm amazed by the architecture of the place that has been so detailed and given to us through the prophecy of Ezekiel. I look at the columns. I look up the trestles that are there, with all of the beautiful plants and the hanging gardens that hang down between them. And as I walk through this place, I say silent prayers to myself. I walk up to the massive corner towers, to the massive archways that go in between them. It's hard to fathom sometimes how majestic this place will be. And its purpose is for worship of the one true God. Everybody on the earth will know who the one true God is. It will be a wonderful time to live, brothers and sisters. And as we climb these towers and we look out from the top and survey the land of Israel, as far as you can see, north, south, east, west, the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which they have now inherited. Perhaps they're there at the temple with me. Perhaps I can go and talk to them. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Brothers and sisters, if you do not have a vision of the kingdom age, study the prophecies. Figure out what you're going to be doing on those days. Build up that vision in your mind. If you want to be part of the chambers of the singers, where there will be thousands of immortal voices, perfected voices, imagine 100 years of singing lessons. Imagine how good we will all be at worshiping our Lord. Imagine walking up the ramp to the altar. This is the part that many times put me to sleep. With each step up that altar, I would look around about me. And as you crest the hill, you can look for miles around. It's taller than the towers. And you can look around and realize that you have overcome. Brothers and sisters, if you don't have a vision, build one up in your minds. Build up a vision that will propel you through this life, through the difficulties. And be thankful to your God that you have been given such a privileged and special place and that opportunity. We will be renewed. We will mount up with wings as eagles. Our strength will be renewed. Look forward to that day, brothers and sisters. Thank you.